Welcome to the As One Leadership Podcast. My name is Luke Williams. I'm the lead pastor of Follow Baptist Church, and it's wonderful to be able to bring these podcasts to you. Today, we're starting something a little bit different. We're going to do a mini-series on the arts and mission, and we have a special guest for that. It's a friend of mine. His name's Clinton Plowman. So, Clinton, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's really great to have you with us. And Clinton is great at art, and he's got all sorts of different things he does. And so I thought he'd be a really interesting guest to talk to about how art and mission go together. Yeah. And so, Clinton, you have got quite a story. You've told me some of it.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us the condensed version of your life story and your passion for arts?
Yeah. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I stumbled into near us was a Youth of the Mission base.
Yep.
And we'd have the staff there come to our church and do different things, and they'd use our hall for practicing their performing arts. And one day they just said, "Oh, we need a guy in the performances," and said, "Can you come and have a look?" And I was just standing in the back of the hall, and all of a sudden they said, "You're here to join us, so come and join us." And I was right in there. So from that point on, I was in. Doing performing arts. I did an apprenticeship in printing after I left school. And at the end of that, I just knew that I had a calling to get into missions, and Youth of the Mission was what I wanted to do. And at the time, I was into skateboarding, so Los Angeles was a destination that I was loving to want to go and visit. So, yep, there was a discipleship training school going on there, and I went and did it. I was going to go travel through Europe, but postponed that when a visiting pastor pointed me out and said, "God's got a calling and he wants you to go now." So I looked up the next one and went. And then because my apprenticeship was in printing, one of the bases up in Northern California needed they had a print shop there, so they needed someone to run it because the director was running it at the time. And after that, I just said, "Hey, this is my skill set. Do you want me to come and do it?" So I started there in 1990. And so that's the crux. You know, I was always into art. My grandfather was a photographer for Yates Seed. He'd take the photos that you see on the seed packets and things like that. So that was always a part of what I did. And being in printing and then running a print shop, I had to design and lay out. Back then, there was no desktop publishing or anything, so we had to type things out and lay it out, create the negatives, create the plates, and do the printing from that. So I had to do everything. And I ended up being there for 12 years.
Wow. Pretty old school back then. And so I'm sure you've seen a lot of change over your time when it comes to creative stuff and equipment, and just being in a studio like this, there's cameras everywhere and a bit different to what it was like when you started out. Yeah. So I guess because we're talking about the arts and mission, I think creativity is the centerpiece of all that. So what is creativity to you? And I guess, do you consider yourself creative, and why or why not?
I consider everybody creative. We are created in God's image. God is a creator. And in that, we're all creative. It might not be so arty-farty, as it were, that we might think it creativity as, but I see everybody as creative. You might be a mum at home thinking of creative ways to do homework with your kids, or clean the house a different way, or creative ways to cook a different meal. A business person creating a spreadsheet in a different way that's more effective, that's creative. Or designing a bridge that's more effective and more stable is a creative process.
Yeah. I love that point. I think everyone being creative and using creativity in different ways. And I think things like MasterChef has brought out the creativity in food, hasn't it? And I mean, just recently, Nick Riewoldt won MasterChef. So he finally got the number one trophy, which he never got when he played for the Saints. It was a bit of an ouch moment. But I love that. Like, when you think of creativity, like, I can think of teachers that taught the same curriculum. Just say maths. I can't stand maths, right? But you would have a teacher who would teach maths, and they'd just go through the textbook, and it'd be very monotone. But then you have another teacher who'd get out blocks and beads when you were younger, and they'd teach you how to count that way, and all of a sudden you were engaged in something that normally you wouldn't be engaged in at all. So, finding how you can use creativity in everyday life.
Yeah, for sure. You see, I kind of, in the commercial world, you've got to start from your end point and work your way back. And as a teacher, if you're finding that you're not engaging with your students enough, I think then I would be thinking, what am I doing wrong? What could I do better? And that's when you start the creative process. Oh, I could try this, I could try that. And then you kind of figure out what works for you and your personality, what works for the students and their needs, and then you work your way through a process to become a better teacher.
Absolutely. So you do creative stuff in a whole lot of different environments, both personally and professionally.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you've mentioned to me before things like commercial creativity. Yeah. I think that was the word you used, and then inspirational creativity. Yeah. What would you see as the difference between those things?
If I'm designing, if a company comes to me and said, oh, we need a new logo, I don't just sit down and play with logo ideas. I'll ask the marketing questions. Who's your target audience? Who do you want to appeal to? Do you want to look more professional, commercial? Do you want to look more fun and funky? So you create, you're basically creating a barriers or borders to then design within.
Yep.
You look at the competitors, what are the competitors doing, who's been successful in that field, and then you create a brief, you create your kind of border, your square, and then within that, you know, parameters, you design a logo. For my personal work, it's whatever inspires me at the moment, whatever is going to be something that's maybe I'm going through in my life that I just need to put out there, because it's, for me, it's also a form of therapy. To be able to paint, have that single focus, and then just pour either my heart out or just have something that I've been inspired by. Usually it's a word or a scripture or just a thought or a picture that comes to me. And I've just, it'll bug me for a long time until I can get it out. And once I get it out, then it's, you know, I'm free from that.
Yeah, so I guess your professional life, it's obviously often creativity within limits.
Yeah.
Whereas in your inspirational, your personal stuff, you can just sort of go wherever.
Yeah, for sure.
The heart takes you or whatever you're thinking at the time, and you're kind of led by, you know, you think probably by the Holy Spirit, but you're led by your own creativity and all that, which is really cool.
It's the same with the photography side of things too. Even with weddings where it seems very free-flowing and natural, there's quite a lot of planning that goes into those shoots and those particular looks, and the couple that you're with, whether they're lovey-dovey and want to be all la-di-da or just like casual, just hanging out and doing fun stuff.
Yeah, cool. I think when you think about creativity, and like you said, often it's the arty sort of stuff you think of, and I've never seen myself as creative like that. I'm creative in other ways. But just last year, I was just drawing something for my son, just a little sketch with a grey lead pencil, and my family said, oh, it actually looks better than what I thought it would be. And so I've started fiddling around with a bit of sketching in the last year, and I wouldn't say I'm, you know, any sort of famous artist, but I find it very therapeutic.
Yeah.
And I find, you know, it's one of the only things I can do that when I'm doing that, I don't think about anything else because I'm worried about the detail and looking at the shading. Yeah. And so I really enjoy it. It's a good way to sort of wind down a little bit at times. So
I've seen some of those sketches and I've got a couple of hints for you too.
Oh, good. Excellent. Yeah. Well, I certainly need lots of hints, mate. So you might be the man to give those hints to me. But you've talked a little bit about some of the things you do. So do you want to just, you know, obviously you're passionate about the arts, but you're a little bit different to a lot of artists. You just seem to diversify in a whole bunch of stuff. So tell us a bit about what you're actually passionate about and what you do.
Yeah. So my formal education is as a trade printer, which led me to, like I said before, it's like led me to running a print shop in Youth of the Mission. And in that I had to design the flyers. Any kind of flyers, or we ran summer camps like the American style summer camps and all kinds of missions, training. There was a training facility, a beautiful facility up in Northern California in the mountains. Nice. So I had to design it. So that took me into design. I then found out in the early 90s the desktop publishing came into its fore. And I found a school, and it was actually Keith Green's Last Days Ministries, and it was a three-month school. So I said, I'd like to do this school, and Youth of the Mission actually said, we'll pay your way if you come back and sign a two-year contract. So I did that and ended up staying another, nearly 10 years after that.
Wow.
So, and then when I came back, we got a couple of new Macs at the time, and within a year, we'd actually gotten rid of the print shop and focused solely on design. So a part of, also during that time was a part of the summer camps, was I was the photographer, video guy, and was taking photos of all the campers, and we'd go on survival camps, and I'd be there with all my gear. I feel for the people that have to follow Bear Grylls around, because I think they do twice as much work as what he actually does, because they've got to carry all the gear. But yeah, so then that, you know, I kept up with the art, and then I had art projects on the side. So, and then I was designing the T-shirts as well. So I was doing, you know, in my role in missions, it was the media arts department, which was the mad department.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're doing design, art, the photography videos, and that's my way in which I was able to use my skills in a missions environment.
Yeah, so Youth with a Mission, or YWAM is what I've always known it as. Organisations like that are great, because when you come into it, you get all these different opportunities to try different things and I guess find your niche.
Yeah.
And it sounds like your experience there meant that, you know, you're doing a bit of design, you're doing art, you're doing photography, you're doing videoing, all that sort of stuff. And that's probably just developed that passion in you, I guess.
For sure.
And so now you're able to use those things professionally.
Yeah. So when we came back to Australia, that was in Northern California. When we came back to Australia after I got married and we started having children, I got into graphic design. I worked my way to a senior designer in a large company, corporate company, and we were doing product photos with the cameras that they had. So I would take the camera away on the weekends, a little Fuji 8 megapixel camera, and that's when I was looking, oh, what's opportunities I can do photos. I started doing stock photography because I'm a designer. I need photos. Mm. So I started doing stock photography, made a little bit of money out of that. And then somebody all of a sudden said, oh, you do photos, come and shoot our wedding. I was like, what? So I did. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I did half on a film camera with black and white film and half on digital. And they loved what I did. And I was like, ooh, this is good. There could be some money. So eventually I just took over what I did. And that's photography for me was a way to be creative, because there's endless amount of work I could be doing as far as commercial work, but also creative work.
Yeah, so you've done like weddings and stuff like that. I think you said you did a bit of work with Ken Duncan at times.
I did a training week with him up in the Central Coast. I wanted to try everything. So I'm a kind of person that I'd want to get my fingers into everything, and I've only got one thing left on my bucket list to try as far as photography. And but I've done the A-League soccer, the Australian Open tennis, Melbourne Fashion Festival, the Logie's red carpet. I did that for 10 years. So I've kind of tried everything and wanted to do everything. I wanted to do Ken Duncan because I wanted to try landscapes and how that would go.
Yep.
And I've found it relatively boring. And really wanted to focus on people. I love the interaction and the creativity photographing people.
Yep. So what's left on the bucket list?
Oh, it's being a stills photographer on a feature film.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got my billboard. I got the billboard this year.
Yep.
With Light FM, and my A-list one-on-one photography with an A-lister and the red carpets and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, being a stills photographer. So if there's any film producers out there looking for a stills photographer.
Here's your man, Clinton Plowman. Send us a message and we'll give you his phone number. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, it's good to have those bucket list items that you sort of work towards and experience those things. And I love what you did with Ken Duncan. You went and you tried that. Yeah. I think I love that. I love the getting out into nature.
It was definitely fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the process, you know, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and going down to the beach, stumbling your way down to the beach and setting up, waiting for a sunrise that then doesn't happen. No.
Quite as enjoyable. Very good. So I'm thinking about people out there who want to be more creative, and they might feel like, I'm not really creative, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good to ask you, where do you find inspiration for your creativity, and when do you feel most creative? Not 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, that's not one of them. That's a good question. Like I said, I'm kind of into everything. I consider myself a visual artist. I have done the performing arts and I've done all that side of stuff with Youth of the Mission. Part of what I did was do street performing and performing dramas and stuff in churches. But I had the choice of going full on into the performing arts or into the visual arts, and I felt I was much stronger in the visual arts, and so I went that direction.
Yeah.
I get inspiration from everything. I've got my fingers in all. I've got about four projects on the go right now, as far as art projects. I've got a list of people that I'd love to photograph. I find inspiration in people like cosplay people that have got all kinds of interesting costumes, and I'd love to photograph them in different scenarios. I find inspiration from different artists that I just love their work, and I was like, oh, I'd love to try that. And then just personally, somebody posted, my friend Deb Porter posted something on Facebook the other day, and it was just a quote from an old hymn, and I was like, oh, that really hit hard. And then so I got my journal out and I just sketched in street style that part of it, and just I was like, oh, I'd really like to do that as a big poster sometime. So I've got a journal, I've got sketchbooks this high, and I've got notebooks with ideas and all kinds of stuff going on. So
yeah. So you're always on the lookout for creative ideas.
I don't know if I'm on the lookout, but I'm just, it's my passion, so I'm just, that's what I love to do. So that's what I'm doing. I'm just out there. I've really missed during these lockdowns just walking around the city. Yeah. When I was skateboarding as a teenager, we'd skateboard down Pran and then catch the trams into the city and skate around the city and just walk around the city and take photos and then, you know, work our way back home again eventually. I really miss just walking around the city. I get inspired by just walking around the city, visiting galleries and different places. So I've kind of missed that kind of like the vibe of just being around creativity.
Yeah. I think that's a great thing about life. If you slow down a little bit and take in what's going on around you, you can be inspired at times. Mm-hmm. And I know as a preacher, often my sermons, illustrations and stuff come from things I see when I'm out in nature or things that happen with my family. Yep. So my family know that I'll always preach it and ask for an apology later. Our whole life becomes a sermon illustration. But I think the beauty of life is found in those little moments that often are unexpected. They happen and you go, wow, like creativity sort of sparks.
Yeah, I love that. I love the whole concept of the natural speaks of the spiritual.
Mm.
And that's so true in so many different ways.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So I think every moment of every day there's opportunities to be inspired by what's happening around us via creation, via interaction with other people and relationships. And so, it's great when you naturally love that stuff. Yeah. I guess it just comes.
Well, it's also important for me to be doing that in the sense that I need to be on top of the current trends and what's happening out there.
Yep.
So if I'm too insular, I'm missing out on certain trends, or I'm not when somebody's asked me to design something, I might have designed something that looks from the 80s or the 90s or something like that, and I've got to keep up. So it's important for me commercially to be doing that too, to just seeing what the vibe is out there and what's trending and what are this year's colours and all that kind of stuff.
It's funny, isn't it? If you're in that space, you're seeing that all the time. If you're not in that space, you're noticing it subconsciously.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there'll be a colour that you see lots of.
Yeah.
Or it might be like fluorescent colours for a season, or it might be more pastels for a while. And I think subconsciously we're picking it up. But I guess for someone like you, you've got more alert to what's actually going in the industry.
Yes, I cannot turn off driving around or walking around like, oh, that'd be a great location for a photo shoot.
Yeah.
That's all the time. That'll be great if I did that kind of shoot over there. You know, it's like, that stuff I can't turn off.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So, I mean, there's been some incredibly creative people throughout history people that we look at and go, wow, that's amazing. So if you could be one famous creative person throughout history, who do you reckon it would be?
There's so many different, like I love Monet. And when you put them into their point of history, they were the rebels at the time.
Mm.
But I studied Picasso in high school, And we went to an exhibition, which was in chronological order of his life.
Mm.
And particularly towards the end of his life, the things that he was getting in, like we've been talking about, he was just into everything. You know, painting on glass, sculpture, photography, a little bit of video, you know, film. He started as a fine artist. Some of the stuff at the beginning of his life, you would say, that's not Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
But then as it progressed, he just developed a style. He went through his blue period and this period. And at the end, he could just get a brush and there's a painting. Yeah, you know, wow. It says it got to that place where he was just so good at what he did that he could just, you know, whip up something with just a few brush strokes.
Yeah, so you like the experimental nature.
Yeah, totally. He never stopped innovating, trying different things and trying new, you know, ways to do things. And you know, back in their day, you know, photography and film and those things that were just starting to come out, he was right in there experimenting with them.
Mm. Yeah, very good. If I was to answer that question, it'd be something a lot more superficial than that probably. Like I think of someone like Chris Martin, Coldplay. I love going to their concerts because just the way they've also experimented and sort of morphed as a band, not only in their sound but in their look and their colours. Yeah. Like they've been tours where they're really fluorescent and then their Viva La Vida was a bit darker. Yeah, and I just love how all that comes together in their concerts, the lights, the art, the colour, the music, the crowd, people singing their songs. Like I just reckon
it must be an amazing feeling.
Oh, being in a moment where everyone's singing your song in a packed stadium, all that stuff going on, it'd be pretty incredible. So I just love the creativity in all the different arts and how it sort of comes out in a way that connects with people in different ways.
Yeah, that's what I feel the same way about you too, that they've morphed into different, you know, you think of Zoo and different, you know, all the different weird and wonderful things that they've tried over the years. They've never stopped innovating.
Yeah.
That's why I'm an Apple person too.
Yeah. Me too, mate. You're preaching to the converted here, but they're always pushing the barriers, aren't they?
Some things don't work. Some things are a bit of a flop.
Yep.
I used to go to Macworld every year in San Francisco, and I can remember going to a side workshop on what is the World Wide Web back in the day, and it's like, oh, never stop innovating.
Yeah. No, it's important, I think, and you don't know what you're going to discover unless you keep trying stuff, so it's really good. So tell us about your creative process. When you've got to sit down to do a corporate job or even just in your own inspirational thing, is the creative process similar? And how do you get yourself in that creative zone? Because I find these days you've got social media and you've got the media and you've got stuff around, there's noise and activity. How do you actually shut that out and get yourself in the creative zone?
It's not easy. Mm. Yeah, because there is all kinds of stuff going on all the time. I was a photographer for Harry Kuehl and his training academy for a while there.
Yeah.
And one of his big things was prior preparation prevents a pitiful performance.
Ah, all the P's.
So I was like, oh, that's really good. I kind of started, I do that with commercial design work, like we were saying before. It's like you've got to develop the parameters in which you're going to design something so that you hit the mark.
Mm.
If I just started willy-nilly designing something, the client would be like, what's that for? But if I took a design that I felt like was hitting the mark and they said, oh, what's that for? I can say, well, look, here's your audience that you said you're going to try and target. This is what they're liking right now. And sometimes I even do a whole proposal. Mm. I put in the competitors, what they're doing, and then what the most popular things are within their target audience, the commercial world, you know, all that kind of stuff, and then put in what the logos that I've created. Mm. So that's a very analytical creative process, but it's a creative process to really nail it with that. Otherwise, it's just been inspired by other artists. I love urban art, street art.
Yep.
And
Melbourne's one of the epicenters for that, isn't it?
Oh, for sure.
Yep.
One of the major spots in the world. And like I said, walking around the city, there's endless amount of inspiration in that. But they've also taken it from regular kind of graffiti stuff and really created an urban art, street art industry where now some artists are demanding, you know, $5,000-$6,000 for a painting that they do.
Mm.
Or they're doing murals in the city now where the city is paying them $10,000 to do a mural on the wall.
Yeah.
It
used to be tut-tut, didn't it, with that sort of art, but now it's become really popular.
And some of the ones that I've followed from way back in the day, they've become graphic artists or web designers, or they've kind of flowed into the commercial side of it as well.
Mm. It's really interesting when you talk about your creative process, and I think everyone's got to find what works for them.
Yeah.
So one of our daughters, Taylor, when she's studying, she loves having music in her ears, and so she has music blaring and then she's studying away. I can't do that.
No.
I've got to shut all that off, got to have silence because I can't multitask. Maybe it's because she's a woman and they're meant to multitask better than men, I don't know. But
even when I'm driving and I'm in the city, I've got to turn the radio down to...
Yeah, I'm the same. So you need to switch things off and just have that quietness.
For sure.
Yeah, okay.
The stillness is where a lot of things come to me.
Yeah.
When I walk, I don't like to walk with music.
Mm.
I like to think.
Yeah.
Same with driving. When I've got, you know, things to think about. There's times where it's like I'm editing 1,600 photos in a wedding, and it becomes kind of automatic. So I've got the music blaring and just trying to keep me awake and going through those photos like that because it's kind of just a repetitive kind of process.
Mm.
But when I'm actually really thinking and really getting into it, I like, silence.
Mm. So the important thing, I think, is to find out what works for you and go with that. And that's unique. So talking about unique, if you had to say, what's the one thing that's unique about your creative style and how does that connect to how God has created you, what would you say?
Visual artist with a propensity towards urban art and photography being an art form as well, not just a commercial entity. I have the ability of looking around, seeing what's going on, and trying to, you know, encapsulate that or work that into what I'm doing. But I kind of just feel like I'm me, and there's things that I like, there's things that I don't like, and I'm going to go for the things that I like. And if anybody else doesn't like it, oh well, I'm going to try to be as true to myself as I can be.
Yeah, it's very good.
And the things that I like.
Yeah, and I think when you do that, there'll be other people that connect in the same way.
Yeah.
And so what you're producing will hit the target, not with everyone, but with certain people that will go, I'm inspired by that. Yeah. So,
and so I think my main goal when I think about it is, when I boil it down, it's really to make people think and question.
Mm. Yep.
If my art can make people think and question things, then I think I'm doing what I want to do with it.
Very good. Excellent. Well, this is part one of a four-part series, so we'll keep it pretty brief. But just as we go out, we'll bring it around full circle. So we talked about the start. We talked a bit about the creative process. But you said at the start you think everyone's creative in their own way. And so what advice would you give to people who have never thought of themselves as creative but would like to start exploring their own creativity but they don't know where to start? What would you say to people like that?
I've heard it said so many times. Particularly when I still like going to workshops. If I find an artist or a designer or a photographer that I really like, oftentimes they'll offer like a webinar or workshop. So I still like going to their workshops. One thing I kept hearing photographers say at the end of their workshops was, if you want to become a better photographer, go take photos.
Mm.
If you want to become, and then in the same light, if you want to become a better artist, start drawing, start sketching, and do that every day. Yep. It's like any kind of musical instrument. You have to practice and you have to just get out and do it.
Yep.
I wanted to become a sports photographer. So what I did was, I didn't wait for those jobs to come to me. I went out and found those jobs. I just started driving around on weekends, finding any sport that I could to try and get the best photos, figure out the best angles, best time of day, best place to be when it's sunny, you know, all those kind of things. I was kind of working out as I was just having a play. But that ended up getting me a position in an image agency out of New York, which got me into shooting the A-League, the Australian Open, and all those different other things that I did.
Mm-hmm. So just get out and have a go. Experiment, yeah, try things. Yeah. And I've done that a little bit with the sketching, you know. I've tried different types of sketching, just normal pencils and then, you know, watercolors and all that sort of stuff, pastels.
Mm-hmm.
And you work out quickly, oh, I don't like that one as much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I like this one and I enjoy that. So I think it's experimentation, it's having a go. And like you said, there's lots of resource out there. You can go to instructional kind of seminars. You can
go down that YouTube rabbit hole quite quickly.
Yeah, YouTube. Yeah, lots of sketching.
Yeah.
I found that really helpful to look at some sketching ideas and different techniques. So there's lots of resources out there that won't cost a fortune.
Yeah.
But yeah, just have a go until you find it what you're passionate about. It's really good. Well, thanks a lot for joining us for part one. And next time we're going to talk a little bit about where art and mission intersect. Yep. But it's good to talk a little bit about the creative process today and what's helped you. So thanks a lot for watching this part one of this series. And if you're enjoying this, if you're an artist or you'd like to become more creative, jump on and watch the next ones as well. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. That really helps us get content out there. And if you're listening to on a podcast provider, make sure that you review it. And if you think this content's helpful or inspiring for other people, please share it so that it can benefit other people as well. Well, we look forward to having you joining us next time on the As One Leadership Podcast.